Life instead of death. Now, when my sisters and I got old enough, we were to clean up our own messes. Now, sometimes we were responsible for cleaning up someone else's mess. Now, I did not particularly enjoy that. I did not enjoy cleaning up something that they had done and I got left with. We have all been called upon in life to clean up someone else's mess from time to time. And it's not always fun, is it? No. But sometimes those messes are small and can be taken care of very quickly. But sometimes they're huge and they take lots of time and energy to clean up. You see, messes can happen anywhere, in any kind of situation. In the business world, some CEOs specialize in fixing businesses that are ruined by a former CEO. Messes happen in school districts, in hospitals, in city governments, and yes, messes happen in churches, and in any enterprise that involves people, us human beings. Messes happen. Today in our lectionary lesson for today is about a man who made the biggest spiritual mess of all time. A man that we read about in the beginning. The first man, Adam, messed up big time when he and his wife, Eve, disobeyed God. You see, their sin caused them to be kicked out of paradise, that Garden of Eden that was prepared for them, and they eventually would suffer death, like we all will one day. You see, Adam's spiritual mess was so big that it has affected all his descendants, meaning all of us here today, you and me. We are all born into a sinful condition, separated from God and destined to die. St. Augustine put it this way, when a man is born, he is already born with death because he contracts sin from Adam. You see, Moses in the Bible offered a response to Adam's mess by introducing the concept of law and the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments that were there, it says, before the idea of law, the concept of sin was just a vague thing. But with the introduction and the concept of the law, sin became crystal clear. However, while the law defined the sin, it did nothing to help humanity overcome it. Adam's mess was defined, but not cleaned up. You know, we can figure things out, we can define it, but we have to get down sometimes and clean it up. We have to remember, we have to look back, we have to look at ourselves. The point that Paul is trying to make this day, that he makes in Romans 5:12-19, is that the Lord Jesus Christ cleaned up Adam's mess. Indeed, Paul refers to Jesus as the second Adam, who came to undo what the first Adam had done. Where Adam was disobedient, the Lord Jesus Christ was perfect in His obedience to God. Echimurius was an ancient church father of the 6th century. And he wrote a lot of stuff down, and people have looked at it over the years. And this is something that he said. He said, Christ's obedience was greater than Adam's disobedience in the following sense. Death, which originated with the sin of Adam, has our cooperation in the sins which we all committed. And so it was able to gain control over us. For if men had have remained free of all the wrongdoing, death would not have been in control. But the grace of Christ has come to us all without cooperation and shows that the grace of the resurrection is such that not only believers who glorify in their faith will be resurrected, but also unbelievers, both Jews and Greeks. You see, Paul reminds us of how Adam messed up spiritually, so that the world is now in a state of sin and spiritual death. But Paul does not stop there. He goes on to proclaim to you and I the good news that the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, broke the power of sin, brought new life, and He cleaned up the mess. You see, what does that mean for you and me today? It means that there is hope. People, there is hope for us. It means that we do not have to be mired down in sin. We no longer have to wallow in life of despair and isolation from God's love, joy, and peace. It means that while we may never be perfectly obedient, the one who was perfectly obedient has paid the price for us, has forgiven us, and has worked to reconcile us with God. You see, Paul's letter to the church at Rome also offers us the following that we find in Romans chapter 5, verses 6, 7, and 8. It says, "For while we were still weak," we were weak, "and at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for the righteous person, though perhaps a good person, someone might actually dare to die. But God proves His love for us in that while we still were sinners, that Christ died for us." Wow. While we were yet sinners, He died for us. He died for you and He died for me. A young man lived a disordered life that kept him far from God. He met and married a Christian young woman. She loved God, she prayed daily, and was faithful in attending church. She invited him to attend worship each week, and he refused. But one day, out of curiosity, he went to church with his wife. And to his surprise, guess what? He liked it. It weren't that bad. It wasn't the drudgery he thought it was going to be. And he began attending church. Then he had a personal encounter with the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that changed his life forever. He realized that he had been spiritually dead, but now was alive in the Lord. He found it. He knew it. He believed it. He experienced it. He had that relationship. His family life greatly improved. Things began to change for him dramatically. He has become a servant of the Lord Jesus. His life is now one of much happiness and blessing. Yes, things still happen that are not always good, but he has that assurance and he has that peace and he has that hope that passes all understanding. You see, the Lord Jesus is the Lord of the living and comes to give you life in abundance. Open your mind and heart to the Lord Jesus. Let the Lord break the power of sin over you. Let the Lord Jesus free you from the hold of sin over you. Let the Lord free you from that sin that is on your heart, your mind, and your soul. Let it be free. Come to the Lord Jesus and live the life that God wants you to live. Come this morning and share your heart with God. Share your heart with God. In a moment, we're going to open up and come to the Lord's table. Are you ready to share that part of God? Have you allowed yourself this week to get frustrated and upset over something? Have you always been nice? Have you always acted the way you should have acted? Have you always said the things you should have said? Some of you have had things happen this week in your life and you've been extremely humbled and grateful of what God has done. Some have just been going along and things just happen, humdrum. Say nothing ever happens in our life or our family. You know, we're not that important. Oh, yes, you are. Everybody's important. We're all important. Each and every one, God calls according to His Word. He calls us all. He died for us all, not just one, but for us all. None of us are worthy of that. We can't earn it. We don't deserve it, but He gives it to us. It's that free gift that He gives. So this morning, as we come in a few moments to the Lord's table, let us remember that. Let us always know that God is with us. Let us pray.